follow me. Come calls us to salvation. Calls us into relationship with Him. But He doesn't just call us to salvation. He calls us to a mission to serve. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you have an eternal impact in the world. Yes, it's a partnership. Unless God shows up and opens their eyes that they can see who He or who He is and their need of Him, it won't happen. But He's going to use our mouths. He's going to use our hands. He's going to use us in this partnership. He calls us to both salvation and to service. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is what happened throughout the world. People went when they were called. People came to know Jesus. Paul loved the people he was sent to. Paul and Barnabas were set apart, sent out, go and make disciples. Paul and Barnabas go on a missionary journey. They come back. Apparently, Mark had been along, and Mark exited out of it early. So then they're going out again. Paul says, I don't want to take Mark. Barnabas recognized some things in Mark. He says, I'll take Mark. So Paul and Silas go over here. Barnabas and Mark go over here. But later on, Paul recognizes the ability that Mark has. And he's delighted. He praises him. He recognizes God's work in Mark. So some of us have failed. We've done different things. It doesn't exclude us either. If we are followers of Jesus, this commission, our mission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, stands and still holds true. Motivated by our love for God and love for people, it's still there. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, and Barnabas and Mark, and Timothy and Titus and Luke, right? There's many others that are mentioned that were on these trips. Some of them, like Timothy and Titus, they were left in a specific location. You got Larry and Joyce in the Philippines. They were left them in a specific location. We sent them out from us, and they're in a specific location to train, to pastor, to oversee. Others went out. Well, many. Many. Peter writes about the diaspora, the disbanding of believers. When they're persecuted, they scattered all over the place. And when they went, they just didn't go and say, how can we cluster together and protect ourselves? They went and made disciples. Sometimes God needs to scatter His church, His people, to actually get us where we're going. Go. Well, some go elsewhere and make disciples. Some go, or as they are going, like I said earlier, wherever we go, and it's done close by, right in our own community or their own community. There's examples of that, too. Priscilla and Aquila. Discipling people, teaching them, introducing them to Jesus, and teaching them in the things of God right where they were. They didn't physically go somewhere, but they were going. As they were going, they were intent on making disciples. Tabitha served with her hands. When she died, people brought things. They grieved that she was gone. She had such an influence on their life. We know people like that, right? They have a great influence. They're servants. They love people. They extend mercy to people. And they make an impact because they're in partnership with God. A Gadarene demoniac, a guy full of demons. I'm going to look at Mark 5 just briefly here. Jesus has just calmed the storm. Mark is a book that just almost goes from one miracle to another. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, or Gadarenes, depending on what version how you want to pronounce abode immediately there met him out of the tomb. Lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles to pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. This man was tormented by demons. The story goes on. Jesus says, "Come out of him." What's your name? Legion, for we're many. He's infested with demons. And they say, "Can you send us into that herd of pigs?" Because they recognize, remember Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." And then he commissions and sends out all who are his disciples to go and be disciples of all nations. He's demonstrating his authority all through the gospel. There's a legion, and they recognize his authority, and they say, "Don't destroy us, but send us into those pigs." The pigs go and destroy themselves. They rush down the steep bank and into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Verse 14, Mark chapter 5. The herdsmen fled and told in the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was and what had happened. And they came to see Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed, as in how people describe us when they haven't seen us for a while, is clothed. Yeah, hopefully not. This man, it was a shocking thing. He was clothed and in his right mind. And they praised God and glorified him. No, that isn't what it says in Mark 5. It says, and they were afraid. Scary thing to see what the power of God and what he does in a person's life. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they begged Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed, the demons, begged him that he might be with him. "Can I come with you, Jesus?" Jesus' response, verse 19 and 20. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home, dear friends, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy." Stay right where you're at. Verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, that region of cities, right where he lived. Proclaimed right there how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone wondered. As you are going, wherever you're going, some go a long ways away. Many go as they are going right in regular life. We're often looking, "I don't have enough training." We've had so much teaching over the years, many of us, we do so. But it's risky. We're afraid too, right? Aren't we? Isn't this why we don't do it? We are afraid. Part of us is afraid that God might do something big. We also doubt. Remember I mentioned that earlier. Some doubted and they saw Jesus right there. They still doubted. It's okay to doubt. And we push through that doubt and we obey and we partner with God anyway. Face our doubt. It's like Thomas said, "How can we know the way to where you are going?" And Jesus says, "I am the way." We don't trust the Holy Spirit. That's why prayer comes first. That's why we need to be dependent on God and experience the divine power. Experience that relationship with Him. And then as we are going, it comes out. Go in his name and in his power. are forming or you're against him. Disciples of Jesus, we are growing in prayer. We're disciples of Jesus, we are learning to depend on God, experience divine power, and we're obeying and working in divine partnership with him. We are learning as we are going, we are making disciples, learning to love God and our neighbor. And we reap for the things that Jesus wants to do. He reaps it for the world because he loves people. It's not his desire any should perish, that all should come to know him and grow in him. Are we partnered with God and obeying? Partnered with something else? Just as I close, I want to read 1 John 2:15-17, because I think this really speaks probably to the worldwide church, but certainly the organized body in North America. John, remember, this is the one whom Jesus loved and who learned to love Jesus, one of the only disciples that didn't meet an early, untimely death. He writes in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. A true disciple obeys. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. This isn't optional for a follower of Jesus. I know who's motivated by love. We're in that relationship. Let's just assess ourselves and our own lives here for a few minutes. Are we more partnered with the world? I don't want to give up my comforts, my safety. I don't want to face rejection. Well, I'd rather face rejection from people than rejection from God. If you deny me on earth, I'll deny you in heaven. This is serious stuff. Maybe we need to go back to prayer and confess where we're really at. Myself a disciple, but I've only accepted part of it. I just want to be saved. But I don't want to be a sent one, a servant as well. Not fully, not really. I'm scared. I'm scared. Maybe you've stepped out like Mark and you've run home. Don't stay home. He's the God of second chances. And even Paul, a very passionate servant of Christ, willing to die for him, who got frustrated with Mark, will come around.